we're tackling the biggest workforce challenges with cutting-edge technology, giving you the tools to hire smarter, faster, and better. This is Workforce Insider by Indeed Flex.
Have you ever wondered how companies prepare to staff massive trade shows across the country, often at a moment's notice?
Today's episode takes us behind the scenes with one of the leaders in that world, Court. You'll hear how they manage their workforce across high-pressure, high-volume event schedules and how they've adapted to stay flexible, scalable, and strategic under all of that pressure.
Whether you're in events, logistics, or operations, this episode is packed with insights on navigating workforce chaos in a fast-moving industry.
Joining us today is Dan Timpleman of Court. He is the Vice President of Operations and Asset Management over at Court. And so, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's an incredible opportunity to sit here and talk about something I'm so passionate about around the labor force and the changes that we're seeing in the industry.
I love when Sarah and I have an opportunity to talk to a fellow workforce insider nerd like you. So this will be a fun conversation. I guess to get started, Dan, would you mind maybe giving us a little bit of a background of yourself, your history and your career, and what led you to Court?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have an odd story, actually. So I started in operations when I was 16 years old in warehouse operations, and I've never left. So I have literally worked in warehousing, distribution, been managing labor. I've been in a management role since I was 2 weeks into my first job at 16 years old, and I've never looked back. And so I've had the opportunity, great opportunity to work in LTL. I've worked in 3PL. I've worked in long haul. There's been a significant amount of opportunity that I've had, different clients I've worked with. It ended up leading me to Court through furniture. I worked for Ashley Furniture for about 9 years, and Court reached out and said, hey, we have this great opportunity in this new industry, new to me industry, the trade show and event industry. Would you be interested? I was just looking for a little something different, a little new challenge. And I will tell you, this has been a significant challenge, but my gosh, is it a fun one. This industry is so fun.
Quick question on this, because I know Sarah has some questions around kind of specifically what you're doing at Court, but maybe to start it off and give some context, everyone, if you think about your past history in LTL, 3PL, warehousing, and then you compare to like where you were at Ashley, which one is, if you look at Court and kind of what you do specifically, Court on the event side, where do you see more similarities on the furniture Ashley side or on that more 3PL warehousing LTL part of it?
Yeah, so really, it's very different, actually. The labor is still very, very important. You still use flex labor in different peak seasons, but the peak seasons are far different in an LTL environment, in an Ashley Furniture environment, as opposed to Court. Court has very, very high flex volume. We go from almost no volume to super high volume at two different times during the year. And so it requires a completely different approach when it comes to labor management.
So Dan, let's kick things off with some context. So can you tell us a bit about Court, the kind of work your division handles in the trade show and event world? And similarly, you just mentioned obviously about peak seasons and quieter periods. Like, I'm super excited to understand what that looks like. Can you share a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So what Court does in the trade show industry, we're a small piece, right? There's a lot that goes into it. And we'll talk about the complexities of that here shortly. But what we do, what Court does, is we provide the furniture in the sitting area and the connection areas for trade shows and events. We bring it to life, right? We create the connection where people can sit down. That's what the whole point of trade shows is where people can sit down and look at each other face to face and have great conversations. We're the people that come in and we place those furnishings for you. So it's a lot of fun to try to figure out and very complex. And you might have 3,000 pieces of furniture going in 12 hours and it all has to be set and perfect. And so that's where that flexibility with labor and whatnot comes in. Now, when we talk about peak seasons, it's not necessarily the size of the show, it's the compaction of the shows. So generally the trade show season, there's a trade show and an event season that happens in the spring and that happens in the fall. And about 70% of all trade shows and events are going to happen within June and May and September and October. Those 4 months, most of our volume is going to happen. And that's where those huge peaks come in. We may not use any temp labor in some of those off months, and then our peak seasons will be significant. We have to ramp up very quickly. So there's a very widespread volume, and it could change overnight too with the different changes within our industry.
Amazing. And how do you measure that success? Like, what does success look like for your team to execute an event smoothly?
really, it's meeting the client demand. So we work with general contractors generally, right? And general contractors will pull all of the different pieces together to put on an event or trade show. The way we measure success is by the way our client feels that they've been served from a furniture standpoint, ensuring that all of the product is in the right quality and the right places at the right time. Time is absolutely critical when it comes to trade shows. You can't open a trade show or event late. You know, you have all of this marketing money that goes in, say, at 8 a.m., we start on Monday. And if we're not ready, that's a huge problem. That's a major issue, right? So we measure success by the fact that we can't fail. There is no failure. And if you talk to anybody in the trade show and events industry, somehow everything comes down to the last minute, but we all make it work. We work together to do that in this industry.
It's funny because you talk about the seasons for these trade shows, and that's when I'm traveling, right? Because myself and Sarah are going to these. Now, we are a lot of the times the attendees for these trade shows, and the doors open at 8 a.m. So you're telling me not just court, but there are people scurrying around until 7:59, just making sure we're getting the placement correct, huh?
Oh, yeah. Almost every trade show is like that. Not all of them, but there's always so many things that come up. If you can imagine just what it takes to do a trade show, let's just talk through that if we can. What does it take to make a trade show, and how complex is it? And I think that was a couple of questions that we talked about, right? And it requires you to go into maybe it's 1 million square feet, right, of nothing but a concrete slab. And imagine building a city in 3 days, a complete city. Everyone's been to a trade show. They've seen trade show floors. They've seen these event floors. They know what it looks like. It looks incredible, but you don't know what that looks like 3 days prior. It's a complete concrete slab that gets built up, and it requires multiple vendors, multiple people working together. The planning for these shows goes in. We start 6 and 8 and 12 months ahead of these shows to ensure that the planning goes so smoothly. We have a show that happens out of Orlando every year. It's one of the largest shows, trade shows in the U.S. besides CES, which is the computer trade show that happens in Vegas. Everyone knows that one. But there's another one that happens in Orlando, and it's 10,000 pieces, a little more than 10,000 pieces that goes in a matter of a couple of days. So you can imagine what that looks like from a labor standpoint.
I'm interested, maybe if we drill in on that a little bit, because Court is obviously the industry leader when it comes to event rentals and trade show setup. Like, you all are amazing in what you do and have amazing customer satisfaction. And so I'm wondering, though, so there probably aren't a lot of people listening to this podcast who are saying, oh, well, this is great because I'm also in the trade show world. But I would assume there are a huge number of comparables and parallels between, you know, the kind of that your background, which is that 3PL warehousing LTL side of it. And so while the peak periods are different, right, like while it is spring and summer, as opposed to kind of that really high peak in the winter that typically the 3PL team has around the holiday period, can you walk us through, like, maybe what are some of the similarities that you've seen, especially from a labor planning standpoint? If you're sitting there, like, picture yourself 7 or 8 years ago before you got into this, what is some advice you would give to the Dan of 7 years ago about how to take some of the learnings you have now and apply them effectively kind of to that more traditional warehousing side?
I think the one thing that I know that I would do is similar to what we did at Court, was consolidating down the temp staffing agencies. It is a real challenge to manage multiple staffing agencies with any sort of effectiveness. And that's where Indeed really shines. And if I could go back 6 or 7 years and tell myself a piece of information that's going to change, you know, the direction that I go dramatically, I would say I would immediately go to an MSP. I would centralize my staffing agencies. I would make sure that I had one management system, something that I could count on to grab the data, understand productivity levels, understand the fulfillment levels, better understand the pricing, and ensuring that I'm getting the best bang for my buck as the client. And I'm also being able to support the industry appropriately.
Okay. So pre-MSP, what did the Court staffing model look like? And also, I guess, maybe prior to Court, like, what were some of the things that you experienced that were maybe pains, unnecessary headaches that you had to deal with before? It was kind of the necessary evil of those peak periods.
Oh, yeah.
That now you feel like you don't have to deal with.
There's so many. So I would say the biggest one is just, I have better access to data to understand how the labor teams are performing. And I can see that we can make changes. We can understand productivity levels. We can do better labor planning because of the data that we have. Before we got into working with Indeed, we had over 30 different temp agencies for 16 districts, 16 different cities. We had over 30 temp agencies. Could you imagine having to audit each of those invoices. Every invoice has to be audited. Every contract has a different markup. It was very, very difficult. It was very hard to manage making sure accruals were properly input. And so, you know, matching up financing, all of those things are incredibly difficult when you're dealing with so many different staffing vendors. What Indeed Flex, what you guys came to us, they said, hey, we have this opportunity here. We were already starting to look at an MSP, you know, just kind of browsing around, trying to understand how we could get a little bit of better controls. We didn't really know what was out there, but when you guys approached us, we started doing a lot of research and found that your program is exceptional. And it provides everything I was asking for. It's going to give me fulfillment rates. It's going to tell me it's better communication. It's better technology. It's better reporting. It's better data. It's everything that I've asked for. And then it's one centralized place I can go to look at my invoices to find all of the information I need. So it's been a significant improvement moving into this role as opposed to where we were when we started at 30 plus vendors across 16 districts.
Nice, Dan. Honestly, that's amazing to hear, genuinely. And I guess, yeah, managing so many agencies across so many cities. You mentioned obviously reporting being a big factor of what's now supported you. But back then when you were doing that and you were in that position, was there a moment, was there a sudden point where you thought something has got to change here?
Tell us the story.
Well, I'll tell you the story. It's interesting because I was actually with one of my colleagues and we were having some discussion over a temp agreement. And I said, well, just let me read the agreement. And I start looking through it and I see the markup rates. And I was just floored. Like, how are we using? Why? So when we started having some discussions, there were a couple of team members that we were converting over to full-time. They were really solid temp workers through this agency. It would have been less expensive long-term for us, right? And they were great people. We want to give them an opportunity, but we went to transfer them over. And unfortunately, they didn't make it through our normal processes, right? And that's when we knew we had compliance issues potentially as well. And so that right there was a trigger for me. We can't do this. You know, there's certainly a new presidential administration that is very focused on illegal immigration, right? And so I-9 verification became very important to us because, without it, obviously, you can put yourself in a significant risk as an organization and even serving your customers. And so, and then on top of that, background checks and those things, the compliance and regulation side of it really caused me to pause and say, we got to relook at this and figure out a new path. This isn't going to work for us.
It reminds me, and tell me if I'm right here, reminds me of a Jeff Bezos quote from Amazon where he says, only do things that make your beer taste better. So what that means is you should focus in your business on the competencies that you have. Put your customer first and focus on things that is going to drive the customer experience, whether the customer is the trade show or the people that are attending the trade show. And management of compliance of the agencies, the invoicing, all of that, like that doesn't ultimately make your beer taste better. It's a necessary part of running a business, but doesn't actually drive the end outcome or result or satisfaction of your clients and your customers. There's the side of it for you that is, you know, you and your team and maybe your directors and the regional leads. But I'm interested to know, Dan, like how has this happened and how has this change management been approached at the site level? Because with so many different sites and so many different locations and such high swings in demand, I'm sure that it was probably a little bit of change management for the sites as well. And so I'd love to know a little bit of that, because probably a lot of people that are listening, when you think about MSPs or driving a more centralized staffing model, what a lot of the time ends up happening is operations, procurement, HR, talent acquisition all get into a room and they say, this is great, I love it, let's do it. But a lot of the times there are really two critical people that are missing. And number one is your own operations team, the feet on the ground, the Dans of 7 years ago, right? And then the other part that's missing is the agencies and making sure the agencies are getting what they need out of it. So would love to know a little bit about what was the journey you went on with your own operations team to get them on board?
Yeah, it was, you know, I think what was most important, obviously operators, anyone that knows an operator, they are black and white. Change is hard, right? Process changes are difficult. Change management in an operation is difficult. The implementation, because in operations, you do things the same way over and over to become proficient and excellent at it, right? It's a different mindset than like sales or anything else. And so these guys have trained their minds, their body, everything to be habitual. And so when you introduce change, such as we did here, I'll tell you, it was not the easiest thing to do. But luckily we had you guys, your guys' team was incredible with that implementation because the amount of training that went into it was significant, right? There was a lot of training that went into it. We did a really good job of outlining the why as to why we were implementing this to get the team to buy into it. But that change, as you guys know, man, anytime someone has to do something different or you introduce a new technology to someone that's been doing something the same way for 20 years, that's a whole different type of approach that you have to take. And I think you guys, honestly, I couldn't thank you enough for the efforts that you and your team have put in to help support our team in the training side of it, getting them up to speed and helping them understand how it's going to benefit them in the long run. They've been great. They've acclimated to it. It took a little bit of time, but they've acclimated. Now they're all in with that situation. I think it's interesting too. You said something about Jeff Bezos, and you mentioned, you know, if it doesn't make your beer taste better, don't do it, right? Or don't focus on that. And you're exactly right. I'm an operator. I have a huge passion for labor. I'm not an agreement compliance and regulation guy. I'm not, you know, a fulfillment rate guy. I'm not that guy. So why not let the professionals do that, right? We handed it over. You guys took a hold of it, you know, took the reins and helped us implement this thing. And it's been a significant improvement across the board. It's been so much easier. When we look at the invoice compliance, just the compliance and regulation, the accuracy, the different audits, the constant communication between vendors, we still have all of our relationships with the local vendors, but, you know, it's managed, or at least the orders come through one simple technology. So the change has been wild. Let the professionals go ahead and manage the labor while I just reap the benefits of getting great staffing with great fulfillment rates.
Oh, I love that, Dan. That's brilliant. It's so great to hear that platform has essentially reshaped how you operate and it's created that impact. You mentioned obviously there about invoicing. Has that been an area that's created the most impact for you guys? Like, I'm keen to understand, you know, what actually has supported the internal teams even more? What's been easier for them, or what's got better?
Yeah, I think it's the ease. It's really the ease. And we've gotten better quality too. And here's the reason why I think. The Indeed Flex program is so easy to use from a flexer standpoint. And I've talked to some of the Indeed flexers out on the show site and whatnot. You know, a lot of these folks, they need that flexibility because it's their life, right? It might be a second job. It might, you know, it's a supplemental income. It might be their full-time job and they like to do different things on a regular basis. The labor market has changed significantly over the course of the last 5 years, right? The values have changed tremendously. People have switched their mindsets up to, instead of like Gen X being, I'll sacrifice my time for money, you have the different generations come in and time is more valuable than anything to them, right? And that was evident after COVID. And I think we saw a big change in the labor market that way. So flexibility is very, very important. That was a huge pickup for me. It was really nice because the flexibility, the people that are coming in, the technology that they're using, the ease of getting them in the door is so much more simple than them having to apply here, do this and call in every day and all that. They just have an app on their phone. Yep, I want the shift. They move in. We have communication immediately, who's coming and whatnot. It's been significant. But I'd say the most surprising thing that we encountered with this change was the cost savings. I didn't expect cost savings moving to this model. Generally, when you improve technologies, when you improve your reliability, your fulfillment rate, the productivity of your team, your cost goes up, right? You get what you pay for generally. But through the whole transition to the MSP, you guys helped us navigate some of those agreements and some of the negotiating of those agreements to ensure that we were aligning markups across the board. And evidently, we consolidated a lot of those staffing agencies because they weren't going to be able to comply with our regulations, or they weren't going to be able to meet the markup rates that we expected. And you guys have filled those gaps. And we're actually starting to see temp savings by hour. So which is the first time I've seen that. Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen that year over year in my career. So I that was probably the most surprising part of it.
Wow, there's a lot there. Let's just unpack that just for a second.
Sure.
That was great. So one of the really interesting parts that I kind of hone in on to from what you just said was really about the kind of that technology side and then also the people side of it. And one of the things that I've noticed, like I was on site actually with a large client we were just implementing a couple of weeks ago and checking in some of our workers. We all try to, like, no matter who at Indeed Flex, everyone has a requirement. You have to go and essentially like be in the trenches at least once a quarter. Everyone does it. Like our CEO was literally making calls last week to our workforce to get them booked onto some work. And when I was there, I was noticing like when I was checking in these workers, this client had a relatively interesting shift pattern. It was like 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., right? So like early in the morning, but not too early. Kind of like, I would say like court-esque shifts, right? Like not super long. They were a little bit more ad hoc. It wasn't every single day. And I was looking at the people I was checking in, and it was students. It was mothers. It was people that were retired. And they were saying, hey, like, I want to be able to pick up this work so that I can still drop off my kid in the morning and then pick them up in the afternoon, right? Having that flexibility and saying, hey, you know what? I have to take grandma to the doctor's on Wednesday, so I'm not going to be able to pick up this shift. Or conversely, like we also have people who say, hey, like I work a night shift, but being able to pick this up in the evening or in the morning so I'm able to still have that flexibility, add some extra income on is really important. I'd love to know, like, have you seen any like quality consistency differences because you're almost able to leverage a different workforce now? I think kind of going back to the technology side, because it's very easy to have a worker who works on Indeed Flex on a more permanent basis for another client and then pick up ad hoc shifts on the weekend to set up a event for court. Have you noticed any differences from the standpoint of like the quality of the worker or the ability to kind of re-engage that same worker over and over?
Oh, absolutely. And you brought up, well, there's two good points there. One, you said the shifts and the timing of the shifts. Some of the data you guys provided helped us understand where we were getting better fulfillment when we would have an 8-hour shift or a 6-hour shift or during this period. You guys provided that data to us, which helped us better align our production schedules with the general contractors to match some of those labor, where we have better labor fulfillment, which it's not a significant difference between the two, but it's always nice to be at 99 as opposed to 98, right? So just putting that in perspective. So that was one thing. That was the data side of it. And then on the other side of things, James, the quality side has certainly improved. And what we've seen is we've seen the retention. We continually get the same people. And I think the reason is we have a larger labor pool, and the people that enjoy doing this type of work, you know, they've been able to come in and they see it and they enjoy it. And so we continually get the same people. So we improve productivity as well. I see the same flexors on show side. I'll be there this Saturday and I'll bet I'll see the same 5 or 6 people at the Cosmoprof show in Las Vegas. And it'll be the same, you know, normal core of people, and they're all happy. You know, they love what they're doing. It's finding the right people too. With that bigger labor pool, the right people end up in the right seats because you have more options for them. They can pick up their phone and look at all of these different job descriptions and choose one. I think it's really matching what our labor environment today needs. I mean, you're filling a void that's been there for a long time, and that's that flexibility. And it's producing on the other end with better quality, better service on iron, better reliability, better compliance. It's all of those things are starting to pick up, and it's been a significant improvement.
I know Sarah has a couple more questions, but since I've been working with you and your team, it has been like one of the things that really sticks out for me that was interesting was because you had mentioned about the shifts and making those recommendations. I think that's like one of the things that we really love about working with Court is the fact that you are good partners. Like, you take it on. And I think when you have like, there's a component of radical candor you have to have, like you need to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, Indeed Flex, you messed up here. And we need to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, Dan, there's some opportunities for improvement. And so to your point of being able to say, which we did was, hey, you know what, if you look at your shift patterns, when you have a 4-hour shift, you're going to have A, lower fulfillment, and B, you're going to have a higher turnover rate and less consistency of the worker. Whereas if you extend it 5-6 hours or whatever, then all of a sudden you've got higher fulfillment and a lower no-show rate. And it's really nice to have a relationship with someone on the operations team, because then you can go and you can crunch the numbers and you can say, well, if it's a 4-hour shift and I need 70 or 50 people for a 4-hour shift, maybe I can get away with, you know, 35 or 40 people for a 6-hour shift. And then I know long term, I'm actually planting the seeds for more of that consistency. So it's been really nice to have that relationship with you and your team. And I think that's one of the great things about kind of really saying, if you trust one of your providers to kind of essentially be the steward of that temporary labor program, and they are the right provider, and they are going to be strategic about it, really how you can help to force multiply, allow you to focus more on what you're doing, and then really allow yourself to be able to drive some of those suggestions that the team is making to be able to have better results.
Yeah, it's data driven, right? I mean, you guys pull the data, you tell us what we need to do, and we love, I'm going to make decisions based on the data. That's how I operate. That's how an operator generally works. And the information you guys provided has certainly helped in that aspect. We've been able to increase the amount of retention. I would call it retention of getting the same flexors because we're offering the same shifts, which, you know, that consistency, but also the flexibility of smaller shifts or swing shifts here and there. It's helping everyone. It's helping the workforce, but it's also helping me. It's helping my clients and customers. And it's also creating some cost savings, which is being passed online as well.
Wonderful. So Dan, I'd love to just shift to the future focus, if I may. So tell us a bit more about what's next for your workforce strategy, especially as the events world continues to evolve. You know, I'd love to know, are you looking at any new automations or smarter planning or new technologies even?
Absolutely. And so with the data that we're actually able to extract from Indeed Flex, we are in the process of working on building profit and loss statements by trade show, by event, and understanding, getting a new level of understanding of the profitability of, you know, court, but also how well are we serving our customers. So the data is helping us build a labor productivity tool. It's also going to help with staffing planning. We didn't have this data before, not in one place where we could get it and extract it, and I could actually see by flexor, by city, what their labor metrics were. And so it's going to improve productivity, planning, all of these things are going, you know, that's just a leading measure, I guess a lagging measure, all the leading measures we're going to be inputting to help support the data that you guys provide, you know, within that Indeed Flex platform. That's the future of what we're doing right now. We're trying to get to a point where I know down to at least 30 minutes of exactly how many people I need, when and where and how to move these type of pieces and this far and so on. So it's a really fun, I guess you would call it formula or algorithm to create and try to understand, but we have the data to do so.
Amazing. No, that's great, Dan. And I guess some advice for other companies in similar industries, you know, trade shows, hospitality, logistics, what advice would you give to them based on what you've learned through this process?
Yeah, from a labor standpoint, I would say if you have any need for flexible staffing, any need whatsoever, do not hesitate if you have multiple sites to go directly to an MSP and or something similar like an Indeed Flex opportunity. It will save you a tremendous amount of time and frustration. Let the professionals manage it. Let the labor professionals manage getting you the labor. You can manage the execution on the operations side, but do yourself a huge favor and allow the professionals to do what they do.
Fantastic. No, thanks, Dan. James, do we have time for a quick lightning round?
Sure, let's do it.
Go for it. Okay, so Dan, a couple of quick fire questions here. You've got one word. So one word to describe staffing. So your most surprising win?
I said it before, but it'd be cost savings for sure. I had no idea we would see that. I honestly thought we would spend more.
Okay, amazing. One thing you'd never go back to?
Multiple staffing vendors. It will never happen again. I will centralize my career. I will never do this again. If I ever leave court, I hope I never do. I hope I'm here forever and I hope they never close the doors on me. But if they ever do, the next company I end up at, that will be one of the first things I look at is centralizing staffing. It has been a lifesaver, something I no longer have to look at.
Okay. A secret to keeping great workers engaged?
Connection. It's 100% connection. I don't walk I love my team. You have to genuinely love your team. If you don't, you're never going to get what you want out of them. You're never going to get what you deserve out of them. You have to genuinely care about your team. And I go out and I connect with I love it. I love walking out. I mean, I'm a hugger. So I'll go out and give the guys hugs, you know, and hey, what's going on? How's the family? That kind of stuff. You have to have the connection. If you don't, and it doesn't matter if you can't separate a temp labor associate from your full-time associate. They're just as important. It doesn't matter that they work directly for your company. They're an extension of you. You have to have that connection with them too. Those regular flexors, I know all their names. I go shake their hands when I see them. I love those people. And I'd say if you're going to be successful and you're going to have a great staff and retention, you have to be able to connect and have a connection with your team.
I love that, Dan. I couldn't agree anymore. And final question. One word to describe the future of your workforce.
Efficient is what I would say. Efficient.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for joining us today. Your story is a great reminder that complexity can be managed and even turned into a competitive advantage with the right approach.
Yeah. And I think your journey really shows that the workforce transformation isn't just possible. It's really necessary in industries where timing, quality, flexibility, last minute pivots are super critical. Thanks so much for joining us, Dan.
Guys, thank you so much. I really, really, truly appreciate your partnership and the continued partnership that you guys provide in the services. Can't say enough about Indeed. Thank you so much for having me today.
Amazing. Thanks, Dan. Well, thanks for tuning in to Workforce Insider. I'm Sarah Peck.
And I'm James Terry. See you next time, where we'll explore more stories about how companies are rewriting the rules of workforce management.
And until then, ask yourself, are you planning for your future workforce or just reacting to it?